Good morning. Today is Monday, the 15th of August. Are you ready for Fair Week?
It is a delight to be with you, Brian.
We got to work on the timing just a tad.
No tie today.
No, it's
no
tie.
You're rather casual.
22.
Wow.
Well, no, not 100%. I still wear the uniform every once in a while. But I'm not wearing tennis shoes today.
Yeah, and he's even got
shoes.
He's even got blue glasses to match his blue shirt. I have to describe it because we're in radio.
Don't get too close to the... They go fleeing into the woods.
Yeah.
All right, smart guy, are you ready for your question? Why do
okay.
we say it?
Why do we say it?
Why do we say acid? Something is subject to an acid test.
An acid test?
The acid test, yeah.
Oh, I'm totally guessing, but it has to do with the use of acids to test precious metals.
Wandering peddlers, now supplanted by telemarketers, were once a familiar part of the European and American scene. The typical fellow carried a few household articles in his pack. If well established, he might drive a wagon with a variety of goods. Kind of sounds like a musical, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Many a peddler made his real money not by the sale of goods, but by purchase of old gold from persons he encountered. Even a veteran found it hard to assess the value of filled and plated articles by examination. But a positive test was easily used. After filling a shallow groove in a piece, the prospective buyer would touch it with nitric acid. Color reactions gave a reasonably accurate index to the gold content and hence the value. Bottles of nitric acid were used on so many articles containing gold that any exacting trial came to be called
the acid test. There you go. So I actually got one. It's the first time ever.
Yeah, we'll count that.
You know what?
Of course, you're going to get sympathy points to take Gary into the 90s on this one.
Yeah. I think we should try that on your teeth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
there is
let's
no gold.
Do that.
There is one filling. That was just a genetic flaw. Comes as no shocker to anybody.
Oh, I have plenty of gold in my mouth. I shouldn't say that out
you?
Loud. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's probably my highest value.
Yeah. Oh, geez. All this inflation stuff that's been roaring around, the information that's presented that we can follow easily, not necessarily some of the verbal follow-up and interpretations by federal folks. It's got to be concerning to everybody. You know, one, that it's there. Two, how it's being handled. From your point of view, as somebody in that niche, in that industry, how is this thing, you know, comments?
Well, there's more to the numbers than what we get. Okay. So inflation is simply a percentage of increase from one period of time to another. Okay. And so, for instance, the president got up and said it was zero. Well, that was zero from June to the end of July. So for a 31-day period, it was zero, but it was still 8.5% year over year.
Right.
Okay. So the other thing that's happened is economists have changed the basket of goods which are included in the CPI.
So the definition is altered.
So you can't really compare one year to another, you know, if you're changing the basket of goods. The third thing I would say is a lot of the inflation has to do with fuel prices. And
have you seen anything that says what percentage? Okay, if inflation, rounded numbers, right,
mm-hmm.
is it 9%? Okay, of that 9%, how much of that is purely on fuel costs and or transportation or delivery?
Yeah. And that'd be a hard number to track for an economist.
They lob it out there all the time as if that's kind of like the catch-all. Well, that's dandy, but how much are you catching?
Well, you're getting economists throw out opinions, believe it or not.
Not humor.
Yeah.
Opinions.
Opinions, yeah. But, you know, I think it's relatively evident. You know, you raise fuel prices, especially diesel. All of the costs included production of farm goods to the transportation of food and other products. You know, you just go down the line. Everything goes up.
Farm to table.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you have that issue. At the same time, we've had reduced production of food. You know, we've had something that nobody really talks about is all of the food processing plants that have been destroyed this year by fires. One, an airplane flew into it, you know, all kinds of stuff. How much is being taken out of land is being taken out of production by Bill Gates and the Chinese? You know, I have no idea what that number is.
Group.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we have a lot of different issues that are pushing the inflation. At the same time, you have, we've seen fuel prices come down, but they're using the strategic reserve to supplement it. And that is not something that's going to last a long time.
That's not sustainable.
And correct.
Talking about the federal gas tax coming, really? it's down, but it's still up.
Right. So, there's a lot of issues here. And I could see after the election in November that fuel prices are going to go back up as the strategic reserve they stop selling and using that. And then where are we at with no strategic reserve?
And then the question is about the exploration. Do we use the assets we have or continue to go to those that aren't quite so secure and the quality isn't quite so good?
Yeah.
Are we venturing into foreign affairs?
Yeah, it was much more comfortable to be self-reliant.
Yeah, exactly.
Than our current situation.
Yeah. Cost of money, computer chips, green energy, this big thing that was passed a week ago, and I guess will be signed in this week. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about when we come back.
We do.
It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back with the bank dude from Redwood Capital Bank, John Dalby, sporting a Papstein haircut. Looking sharp, man. Looking sharp. You are getting a little furry on the edges.
Yeah.
This packet that is going to be sent to the president to sign, whether it's the build back, buy back, trip and fall, I mean, whatever they're calling it, I don't know, has an awful lot of largesse associated with it, and a lot of things that are looking like they're going to drive the cost up for business, for citizens with taxes, and a heavier reliance outside of America. The green with a lot of the solar stuff,
mm-hmm.
We're not making that stuff here. Yet, maybe. I don't know. And there doesn't seem to be an execution all the way through. The chip manufacturing, great. But are you going to have the environmental laws to allow that to occur? Can you get the product here? I mean, those types of things are pretty nebulous at this point. Do you have confidence with what the president is going to do that that's going to help? Or is that piling on our current conditions?
Well, I think you're going to spend a lot of money to help very specific groups of people for a short period of time. In the long run, you know, if you look at, you know, overall, I mean, the fact that we're hiring 80-some thousand IRS agents, you know, just means that more and more people are going to get audited. I mean, that's just the way it is. And auditing is expensive because you have to get your tax preparer involved and
well,
so
that
forth.
That's the middle and lower lower income folks are going to be the ones that end up not being targeted necessarily, but being impacted the most.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because of the dollars, but because they don't have their representation, and
yep.
It's not as
and they're going to have
elaborate.
To get it. They're going to have to get it.
Yeah.
And so you know.
So don't know how that's a plus, but it's being paraded as if that's a significant improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that I'm scratching my head on, saying, you know, okay, that's just what we need, you know. I don't know if we should, when you circle them, the Gestapo, but.
Yeah, it seems like a heavy federal hand to monitor what's going on, yeah.
But as far as the bill goes, it's a lot of spending, it's a lot of tax increases. We're throwing tax increases, we're increasing interest rates. All at the same time, we're going into a recession, which is all contrary to what you should be doing in order to increase the economy.
Are there economists, John, that are out there that are saying this is the way to go? This is good stuff?
Well, according to the White House, they do. They have a number of them that have signed off on this thing. The economists that I use. And we were talking about this in the break. He confirmed that technically we're not in a recession, that 2 months of negative GDP is not the definition. There are more factors involved, and it is an official thing. There's a group that actually makes the decision whether we're in a recession, and that's coming. And most likely we're heading to one if we're not in one now, but
is that
it
months
isn't
or
official.
Quarters?
Quarters.
You said
I'm sorry, I meant quarters. I apologize. The other thing he said is, you know, unemployment is low because there's over 2 million workers that have disappeared from the ranks and
so
are
they're
no
not
longer
seeking employment.
Right. So there were fewer jobs. And the jobs we're creating now are mostly part-time, and it's believed that those are people that are supplementing their income because they can't keep up with inflation.
That was one of the things that, you know, the initial shock was, huh? The last numbers, you know, 500,000 jobs created.
Mm-hmm.
But then somebody actually looked at the level two, said, no, there's been a shrinkage of full-time jobs.
Yep.
But part-time jobs, people are getting multiple jobs to cover their nut.
Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see
jobs are all treated the same, whether it's 10 hours a week or 40.
Yeah, and you can see the large employers starting, you know, they're already put hiring freezes on, and the next step is to start laying people off.
Yeah, Best Buy, I think, said 11% of their workforce is going to be laid off or reduced, I guess. It's,
mm-hmm.
more, it's a permanent, not a temporary. Well, that's got to send those things. You've got to send shivers through the economy, and you would think that some of these economists, either this was anticipated, and they'd be out in front banging the drums and saying this is good stuff, or it's by surprise, and they would say, "Hey, wait a minute, time out. We got to, you know, fall back and regroup."
Yeah,
but neither is occurring.
Well, I just read a very interesting article in the CEO magazine, which I don't read very often, but.
Hey, but you can spell it.
Yes. the front page had the names Jim Collins on it, which wrote
we know,
the book,
yeah.
You know, Good to Great.
Yeah.
He's a great author. And there was an article, an interview with him about how to survive, you know, in these turbulent times in a recession. And I do recommend that article if you get a chance to read it.
Holding your breath is not the way to go?
No.
Okay, fair enough. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. John, some of the different challenges that are going out there, when we hear these economic numbers or these reports or these studies or these surveys, I think we all pretty much recognize that definitions are being changed and adjusted so that the information can be presented in the best of all possible lights. Does it really matter at payday? What's going on? As you look and talk to your buddies throughout the state, I'm presuming that you're back in the network again,
mm-hmm.
What are they saying? Are you seeing any differences between the urban and the non-urban or the rural areas of the state with some of the different financial challenges that are going on? Or are we all connected? And you know, just because we may be seeing some positives with our local economy, doesn't mean that we're out of the woods at all.
We're seeing in Humboldt County, as far as banking goes, the exact opposite of what the rest of the industry is seeing. And that during COVID and PPP, if you remember that, the Payroll Protection Plan, our program.
It's now under the heading of good old days.
Yeah.
For a lot of folks, yeah.
You know, those programs in that period, during that period of time, banks accumulated huge amounts of deposits, and there was not a lot of demand for loans. And so banks became extremely liquid. Since over the last year, we've seen the trend going in the other direction, and now many of the banks, because they invested so heavily in securities, are having funding issues.
Well, just have less money because they...
Correct.
Yeah.
And yet here in Humboldt County, we still have a lot of deposits.
Now, are you able to loan those dollars, or... Because of some of the economic news throughout the state and throughout the country, that the standard, you know, those have changed significantly enough where what may have been loanable 2 years ago may not be.
Well, just the fact that banks had excess funds tells you that they were unable to lend them out. So if they're in the if they're in the bank of liquidity, that means that they have not been able to put those into earning assets. I mean, that's what we have to do, is put them into earning assets.
You want ROI, not just
right.
a pile of money.
And so, you know, it's like the cash in the vault doesn't make any money. Right. So we don't keep it all there.
Looks pretty good, though.
So the good news is for us is that we still have plenty of liquidity, and we have the ability to make those loans. So, you know, we can take care of Humboldt County very easily.
But with the other guys, if they have less, now you're getting, say you're getting some folks coming through that are marginal risk.
Well, what it'll do is it'll push up interest rates as there is more demand than there is supply.
Well, and that's one of the things that seems like at the federal level that they are celebrating. You know, hooray, it went up 0.75 point. Well, hooray, unless you're in a variable or you're looking to get a loan or that first time home or maybe even automotive loans. I mean, we haven't seen too many of the 0.0s lately.
Yeah.
Or 0.9s.
Well, let's the housing market, let's take that one first. You know, we had rates at unprecedented low levels.
Yeah.
Okay. And so
everybody
got
that one.
everybody got used to the idea of, you know, 2.5 to 3% for a mortgage. And now that they're, you know, between 5 and 6, you know, we're thinking, oh my gosh, it's really high. But two things happen there. One is the perception that it's a high rate, even though historically it's a low rate. But the other one is they looked at their buying power at 2.5, 3%, and now it's a fraction of what it was. I mean, it's come down substantially because of the increase in rates. Therefore, you can't buy the house that, that you could have 6 months ago.
The one you were looking at.
Right.
Yeah.
And now housing prices are starting to decline and soften. We're seeing things stay on the market longer.
Are they declining or just not increasing at the same pace?
We've actually seen some rate reduction or price reductions in the market.
I'm curious. Too bad we don't have our buddies here. Is it because you're not getting the cash offers? Is it because you're now in a situation where you have to sell quicker? Is it uncomfortable because it's been over a week?
Yeah.
You know, all these things that could be the triggers.
Yeah,
for
that's
that.
That would be interesting to hear. So that's what's happening with the mortgage rates. The fact that the Fed is raising the discount rate as fast as they are, you know,
giant steps.
Yeah, this is unprecedented. Two, to do so when we're facing recession is contrary to what normally would happen. Normally, they'd be lowering rates.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive. Yeah.
And it is, because they're worried about inflation. But I don't think the inflation's caused by the heat up of the economy. The inflation's caused by political decisions, mostly having to do with oil and energy prices.
So
that trickles
just
through everything.
An ignorance of that? I would think that the economist would be talking about, you know, if we opened up the pipeline, if we allowed the exploration that was occurring prior to this, here's what we project. Here's what it would look like based on our modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And start putting that forth. Maybe it ought to be like NFIB or the National Retailers Association or manufacturers or the Teamsters. I mean, there's so many people that are being impacted by this negatively. You'd think that somebody would be out there being the parrot.
And economic relations, you know, as far as numbers go, have changed. I mean, it has changed. The old economic formulas aren't in place anymore. They don't work anymore. It has changed.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, Mr. Dalby. John, we heard as part of some of the rhetoric discussions coming out of the swamp, computer chips going to be made in America. Now, my understanding is that there's solder involved with computer chips. And the EPA, whether NEPA or at the state level, haven't really looked fondly upon that kind of material in a manufacturing process. Does any of this stuff make sense of what's going on, or is it all about November, and then after November, are you anticipating that there's going to be some significant change in approach at the federal level as well as at the state levels throughout the country?
Well, I don't think it's surprise to anybody that both parties are very, very focused on the November election. I mean, that's probably going to happen every election from now on to eternity, as long as there are two viable parties.
As long as Buzz's batteries don't run out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I already forgot your question, so I apologize.
After November.
Oh, yeah.
The change.
Like I said, I think you're going to see fuel prices rise again. after
to where they were, or
I think
you
might even see another hit another high.
I mean, they were talking $8-$10 in L.A. a gallon 3 months ago, and then all of a sudden, I think somebody woke up and realized that gas prices were a significant issue for the voting population, and we have change.
Right, but again, a lot of that's temporary. As they're using the strategic supply reserves, to supplement the oil that's being refined right now, and so when that's gone. That's a temporary fix. That's bringing the prices down.
Now, what about significant structural things? Mental health. You know, you hear that homelessness and the mental health is throughout the country. Everybody's got it. Well, okay, maybe to varying degrees.
Like you and me.
Yeah. We're still functional somewhat. That they're not dumping a ton of money into something like that that really is an employment factor. It's an educational support move also. It's one that benefits private business, community perception, public safety. I mean, it ticks off, you know, the list is so long. You'd think that that would be where they would be putting trillions of dollars instead of some of these other programs.
That makes sense to me. You've got to deal with it someday because it's just growing and growing. You know, at some point when, you know, there'll be very few people working and most people, you know, camped out. If you look at trajectories. So, you know, at some point we've got to address the issue. And, you know, I'm not a mental health professional, so I don't understand the challenges. I don't understand the treatments, what they are.
Particularly if
drug abuse
problem,
is a big part of that.
We throw money at it. And if it doesn't work, we throw more money at it. And a little bit more money down the road. Okay. Now, maybe that's been going on and we just haven't been hearing the big press releases about it. But I would think that as this becomes more and more ubiquitous, that there would be more and more dollars and more attention focused in that area.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I haven't seen anything in Humboldt County that would have been a proactive effort to deal with mental health issues.
Even getting more kids coming through school with those degrees.
That'd be a great question for the county to see. There's got to be something, and we're just not seeing it. But we need more of it, apparently.
I think everybody seems to.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting bad downtown, and it gets, year it gets worse.
Little old Del Norte County is dealing with it. You know, where they have a population, 20,000? And they're having to contend with it. You know, so it's just as interesting, I guess.
Yeah. And I never want to lose the perspective that these are people.
Well, it's sad.
Because it's easy to do. I want to have empathy and I want to care.
Yeah, and also help out.
Exactly.
Empathy's nice, but let's see if we can stop what the causing agents are. Well, I think we shot another show down, huh?
It's good to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you too, bud. See everybody else tomorrow.